That passage, verse 12 through 15, did you notice a theme in those four verses? Something about remembering? And I think you can catch the appropriateness of, notice what it says on the front of this table here, in remembrance of me. So that's the purpose of communion, that we remember what Christ has done. But there's even more that the Bible calls on us to remember. And Peter is saying, this is my job, this is my goal in life, to help you remember. Now, it didn't take me long to come up with an opening illustration, because I thought, okay, how often do we forget? My family, it's almost a running joke, but it's not entirely a joke. Whenever I leave the house, either my wife or even one of my children will ask me, do you have your keys? Do you have your wallet? Do you have your phone? Because when they don't ask, well, like for instance, this past week I went to the bank of all places and didn't bring my wallet. Last week, I realized as I'm sitting on the front row, the final song before the sermon, I don't have my sermon outline. My piece of paper that I'm going to, you know, it's at home. I don't need to say any more, do I? Well, how about those times where, so if you got it right last week in your sermon outline, then I need to know the answer, because I was up here with a blank outline. I didn't have it filled in like I would normally. And I had my scribbles on the side, but I didn't have my main outline, and so here I am. What was that? Oh, I can't remember. So I made one up. You wondered why that didn't make all the sense last week, huh? How about those times where you go to the basement to get something? You get to the bottom of the stairs. Why did I come down here? Do you do that too? Okay. Or the time where you were in the store and you go out in the parking lot. Oh, I don't know where I parked. Now, we have an advantage. We have this tall, ugly white van. I can see my van from anywhere. Now, fortunately, we haven't done this, but I've heard of parents leaving their children where, you know, they were leaving. And they'll leave a child. Now, I don't recall if that we've ever done that. You get it? How about those that time where you put something away? You was like, oh, that's where that was. And then you put it somewhere. And then a few days later, you're like, where did I put it? It does you no good to have it if you don't know where it is, right? And when you've moved last and then moved boxes here, you find this and that, especially if you have a two-year-old running around, you have those places where you put things. Not a clue where that place went. So sometimes we forget, or shall I say, a lot of times we forget. Have you noticed that when there's a special event coming up, whether it's a community event or a television event, they remind you incessantly? You see posters all over town. Or if it's a TV special, it's like you watch one program or one football game and you get reminded of it how many times? 6, 10, 12? Like, what do you think, we're going to forget? Well, that's what they're afraid of. They remind and remind and remind and remind. Sometimes they're silly things. Sometimes they are important things. I have forgotten also more than once. I set up a lunch appointment with somebody, then totally forget. And I get a call from so-and-so, and I'm like, why are they? Oh, I know where they're calling. And I was supposed to be there 30 minutes ago. I mentioned that it's happened more than once. Sometimes it is real important. In Alaska, there's this thing called the PFD. That's the short name, the Permanent Fund Dividend. Alaska has a pipeline, all kinds of oil money, and they put that into a fund, and that fund earns interest. So based on the stock market, they give the profits from that fund. There's, what, $1 billion in the fund. And then the profits from the stock market, they give to the citizens. And most years, it's at least $800 per citizen. So if you have a family of five, that'd be 800 times five. Sometimes it's even more than 1,000, sometimes quite a bit. There was one year, I remember it vividly, that the deadline was March 31st. And on April 4th, I said to my wife, "Did you sign us up for the PFD? Because you have to apply for it each year." And we're like, both. Deadline had passed. And it came, it turned out that was the biggest payout ever that year. We didn't qualify because we didn't sign up in time. Sometimes when you forget, it's a very big deal. Sometimes, you know, oh well. Sometimes it's something that you will remember, that feeling, for the rest of your life. Peter has a reminder for his readers, and we also, with the Holy Spirit's help, need to remember something that's more important than a PFD payout, more important than leaving your keys in the car, more important than forgetting what's down in the basement that you went to get. Because this is spiritual. This is eternal. And so Peter made it his mission in life. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Now, what things are we talking about? You want to say, what things is he referring to? Well, if you have noticed, here's the way to study the Bible. If you have a question of what does this phrase mean, the first thing you do is you look at the verses around it. What is he talking about? Well, let's look at the verses around it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And that is a wonderful sermon in itself. The point is, Peter wants us to remember that. Then he says, besides this, giving all diligence. So he says, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to give diligence. Verse 15, "Wherefore I will endeavor that you'll remember these things." So he's telling us to give all diligence, to add to our faith this virtue, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, and love. He's saying, this is my mission in life, that you remember this. Like that thing that you, that part or that special that special setting, that special bit to your drill that you put somewhere and you have no idea where it went. You know you own it. You know it's somewhere in the house, but it does you no good because you have no idea where to find it because you've forgotten where you put it. Spiritual truth is truth. You own it through Christ. He purchased it and gave it to you. All the precious promises, all things that pertain to life and godliness are yours. But what if you forget that you had them? What if in the hardships and in the trauma of a trial and a difficulty, you completely forget that God has provided all you need? You completely forget that God is good and that God has your best in mind, and that his grace is sufficient. If you forget that, then the reality of what Christ has for you does you no good. If you forget. And Peter realized that that is a spiritual reality. Look what he says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's like the oftentimes when you actually do find something, you realize, you know what? It was right there all along. I walked by it. I looked in that drawer. I couldn't find it. It was right there. And Peter says, if you lack these things, and I'll put a paraphrase in here, if you forget, it's like you're blind. Sometimes when I can't find something or when Jessica can't find something, we send the other to look for it. Same drawer, same shelf, same room. The other one finds it. Why is that? Well, I won't explain. But isn't that true? That sometimes that other person has a different perspective and can find it right away. And sometimes it never does get found and chalked up as a loss. Spiritually, we can't afford to do that. Spiritually, we must keep these things on the forefront of our minds. How do we do that? Well, in a similar fashion that the advertisers do. They remind again and again and again and again and again. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to hide the Word of God in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So they won't sin against you. Just in the past few days, as difficulties arrive, Jessica and I have had to remind ourselves of truth because the situation overwhelms us and we forget. And so, well, you know, remember that verse? Let's quote that verse, or let's read that verse together. Yeah, I forgot about that. That is spiritual reality. This is the walk of faith. Oh, I forgot about that. I didn't realize that God said that, or that I forgot that this is true. And so many times I talk to Christians, I don't try to tell them something that they haven't ever heard before. But I have concluded that my job as a pastor is to remind you of what you already knew. Did you hear how I said that? Remind you of what you already knew. And quite frankly, that's what Peter saw his role. Look at how he says it in verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I had a friend once caution me about this particular preacher who I liked, and he's kind of well known in certain circles. And he said, just be careful of the preacher who says things and you've never heard them before. Says things that are novel and new and nobody's ever realized this. He's like, just be careful. Just be careful. I'm not saying the preacher that says it in a way that you haven't quite heard it phrased. I'm talking about the preacher that says, this scripture says this, and you're like, I didn't ever see that. Well, my point is this. Our job as pastors, and quite honestly, your job as fellow Christians, is to remind each other of what we know. Do you remember that verse that says, do you remember that God is good? Well, yeah, of course I know that God is good. Well, how about you apply that to your thinking? But you, wait a minute. Are you believing right now that God is good? That God is enough? That God is sufficient? That God has given you eternal life? And in the big picture of things, you don't need to fret about this because God has it in control? Did you forget? And so often we need to admit, yep, I forgot. I didn't remember that. Thank you for reminding me. That's called edification. Building each other up. Not with some novel thought to say, wow. No, just say, oh, you know, I knew that. Thanks for reminding me. We're in this together to remind each other how great our God is. Notice what Peter says. He says, again, verse 12, put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I don't know that these people that were in Peter's audience were strong Christians. He calls them that, though. But these people were in danger. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Would that include some of these readers? You would think that that's probably the case. In danger of these subtle false teachers. And that's the worst kinds, the ones that seem to be teaching Bible, and yet they've got a different take on it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then he gives the solution for that danger. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He calls these people established in the present truth. Now, this is Peter talking. Was Peter always the strong one? Peter was always the loud one, but he wasn't always the strong one. Notice what Jesus did on Peter's behalf. Look at Luke chapter 22. Peter never forgot what his Lord did for him. I should say that a little different way. At this time in his life, that is when he was writing these epistles, he hadn't forgot. But who was the one that said to Jesus, now, even if these here, talking about the other disciples, even if they forsake you, I'll not forsake you, I'll even die for you. And then a few hours later, what is he doing? He's fearing for his life. He's denying that he ever knew him. Jesus prophesied twice that this would take place. Luke 22, verse 32 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may have his way with you. He wants to make you his toy, to do whatever he wants with you. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. It is so significant to remember who is talking and who he's talking to. This is none other than Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Jesus Christ saying to you face to face, I'm praying for you? You say, wow, that's encouraging. Well, the Bible says that that's what he's doing right now, by the way. But as Peter, he was bold and he said, I'll never deny, I'll never forsake, and yet he did. But would you assume with me that Jesus kept his promise to Peter? And in that garden, when Jesus left the disciples a few yards away and he went to that place to pray, Jesus, we know part of his prayer. We know he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. And then he went back and he found the disciples praying hard, right? No, he found them sleeping. And he went back and the Bible says he prayed again. Do you think it's a stretch to say that Jesus prayed for Peter? Because after that third time he said, sleep away, the hour's come. The hour of temptation has come. He knew Peter wouldn't pass. He knew Peter would fail. And he had prayed. And then the Bible says, in fact, and Luke tells us, that after Peter denied, the Bible says, and you can see this in your mind, can't you? How Jesus looked at Peter The Bible says they made eye contact, and Peter remembered, and the rooster crowed, and he went out and wept bitterly. So Peter was down, and that's about an understatement as you can make. But John 21, turn to John 21. Why was it that Jesus had this conversation with one individual in particular? Peter had failed of epic proportions. And Jesus singled out Peter and had a conversation with him. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest, you know all things. You know that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. How many times had Peter denied? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask him that question? It wasn't a question of humiliation. It wasn't a question of confrontation. It was a question of restoration. Jesus knew Peter's heart. Jesus knew Peter was still unsure and struggling with his failure. And Jesus singled Peter out and said, Peter, not through with you. Peter, do you love me? Peter, I know. Now go feed my sheep. And with us, when we confess and when we're discouraged and when we realize we have failed again, it's God that comes to us first with forgiveness, but then with restoration to say, Do you love me? Are you ready to move on now? Peter, I'm not through with you. Verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, Follow me. Peter knew what kind of death that he would die. He had some idea from that statement that Jesus made. It was going to be a violent and painful and horrific type of death. And Peter knew that his time was limited. But in these verses, back to 2 Peter chapter 1, first he had a mission. Jesus had said, when you are converted or when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. You can hear Peter echoing that here in this passage. And then Jesus said, Feed my sheep. And so Peter said, Folks, I have a mission in life. Jesus gave me this mission, and that's to strengthen you and to feed you with truth. And if Jesus could call me stable, then most definitely God can keep you stable. This is Peter talking, and if we reflect on Peter's testimony, on his life, then this has all the more meaning for Peter to say this to us. Peter forgot who Jesus was and all of Jesus' character and control over things. Peter forgot, and he failed, and yet Jesus restored him and used him mightily after that. I hope that you'll keep that in mind as well. Look at verse 13. Yet I think it appropriate, as long as I am in this tabernacle or tent, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He knew what kind of death. And he says, I am not long for this life. He called it a tent. What do you think of when you think of a tent? A permanent residence or a temporary? Of course you know what you think of. And Peter used this interesting statement of a tent. Not a dwelling, which means house, but a tent, a tabernacle. And he says, you know, I'm not long for this body, for this life. And while I'm here, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to endeavor to do it. Moreover, I will endeavor, verse 15, that you may be able after my decease, another word for that is my departure, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter didn't fear death, even though humanly speaking he had a reason to fear death, but no, he had his mission in mind, and that mission was to be that reminder in a personal sense. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at our future. Peter called it a tabernacle. Paul calls our body a tabernacle as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I see it as my role, based on what the scripture says, to remind you, not to wow you, not to impress you, but to remind you of the truth that you already know. And as we make a transition into the communion table this morning, this is the purpose of this table, to remember something that we have heard so many times. As the song says, I love to tell the story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So with that said, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says that as many times as we observe this, the Lord's table, we do show the Lord's death till he come. We know that our life is short, and we don't know exactly how short, but we do know he's coming. And until he comes, we are instructed to remember and to remind each other of these truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So let's take a minute, to examine ourselves and prepare our hearts for this act of worship.
Ask Dan again. Would you ask the Lord's blessing on this picture of his broken?